know there is so much power inside of you? You have the power to make an impact on the planet and the people around you just by believing in yourself. You get to decide how today, this year, this life is going to go. Are you feeding your old bad habits, or are you feeding your power? What's up, big dreamers? Your lady, Vitamin Katie, is here, and you are listening to my Feed Your Power podcast. I am a registered dietitian and fitness instructor, and my mission is to empower you to feel confident and excited about your health and your life. I know we're about to have so much fun together, so thank you for pressing play, and let's begin.
Back in the day when my Nana, who's gonna be 95, she had my dad when she was 19 years old. And hey, this day and age, women are having kids a lot later. And during this conversation, we're learning all about how to reverse our biological age so that when we get older, we can actually have healthy babies at an older age. It's amazing. Dr. Catherine Zagoni, naturopathic doctor, chief medical officer, and co-founder of Clockwise, has been supporting women and couples to easily conceive their healthiest babies for almost a decade. Simultaneously, she practices at 10X Health in Beverly Hills, California, where she bridges cutting-edge science with tried and true methods for exceptional results. After having her own success rewinding her biological clock, she is now on a mission to support women everywhere in having healthy babies on their timeline. She's excited to bring effective science, a warm heart, oh, such a warm heart, I love this woman, and an industry-changing approach to the world through Clockwise. So excited. There's a lot of incredible takeaways here. Let me introduce to you Dr. Catherine Zagoni. Oh, the excitement I feel to have you here with us today. Where did this all begin, this passion for helping women?
Yeah, Well, I kind of joke that like my story started when I was born, when I was like born at home, breastfed till I was four, wow. Which was a very kind of weird thing in Chicago in the 80s, and was raised very naturally. Like my mom's solution to just about everything was vitamin C and acidophilus, which was also a weird thing, you know, in the 90s. And then I actually watched her journey when I was in high school. She was diagnosed with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, and went the conventional route first, because even though we were a very natural family, she's like, well, if you're really sick, that's what Western medicine, conventional medicine is for. Ended up getting sicker and sicker. And then she was like, oh no, if I don't do something different, I'm not gonna last much longer. She was basically bedridden for a number of months. And so went back to the natural route, but had to dive in a little bit deeper. But within 6 months of seeing a new practitioner, was like 80% better. So I like witnessed this in my formative years of like, what do I want to be when I grow up? And to this day we joke, because my mom is still like 96% better, unless she has too much alcohol, too much sugar, or too much mother-in-law. really taught me about the importance of the emotional component and the mind-body component. And so that kind of inspired me to go into natural medicine, specifically as a naturopathic doctor. But even before I got to naturopathic school in my undergrad, I witnessed some family members of mine go through some infertility struggles, and kept thinking, like, there's gotta be a better way. Like, what is going on? And so just was so curious, and also witnessed like what an emotional toll that can take. So knew I wanted to go into that realm, and also having being born at home was like also thinking about maybe midwifery or more like birth care. And actually while I was in naturopathic medical school, thought I wanted to do midwifery as well at the same time. And then very quickly realized being up all night at birth and then going to take a final exam was probably not the best for my own health. But realized fertility was a place where I could actually really impact couples, women, and babies, because what we now know is that everything that mom and dad eat, drink, breathe, touch, think, and feel 4 months, sometimes even more, before that baby is conceived, sets up that baby's health for the rest of their life. So I truly feel like I get the best parts where I get to support them in really creating superhero babies.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so incredible. Superhero babies. I love it. And I'm laughing, but this is not a joke. I think that it's really the whole longevity space, the whole biohacking, reversing your biological age space. Some people, especially maybe the older generations, are like, that's hilarious. Like, that's not something that's possible. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Or, you know, it's 2024. This is actually quite possible. And you're one of the people in my mind totally spearheading this, especially for women. So could you tell me more, like connecting the dots here with this background? It's so interesting how you came to find Clockwise.
Yeah. So what one of the things I had been seeing in my fertility practice was that women are waiting longer to conceive.
Yes.
And this is a beautiful thing because we're more emotionally stable, we're more financially stable, we're more relationship stable. And unfortunately, our biological clock hasn't quite like got the message that this is a good thing. And so that means there's a lot more fertility struggles as women are waiting longer. But in my practice in particular, I was seeing results that are not normal in the conventional world. So I was seeing, you know, I had my best results in my women 35 to 40, like 80% success rate, and still do actually. And so what I realized is that fertility is about more than age, or at least more than chronological age. And at this point, I've been in practice 10 years, but a few years ago, I was introduced to this biological age marker. And I was like, huh, is this the thing that, you know, I've been missing, that I've been wanting for testing, to be able to say to a woman, yeah, your chronological age might be 40, but your biological age is 34. And, you know, so I don't want, you know, let the stress of society melt off of you because your cells are good. Don't worry. Because I had seen, you know, a woman come to me at 42, she had had a failed round of IVF at 36, failed round of IVF at 40. So, you know, if it was really about chronological age, there's no way I should have been able to get her any better results, like zero embryos up until this point. And after working together for a few months, and she made a lot of lifestyle changes and was a fantastic grade A plus patient, they got 9 grade A embryos. And so, you know, I have all this evidence, and now I have this test, and I'm like, okay, is this the missing link? So the first thing I do is run it on myself, because I do everything on myself before I do it on my patients, which is also one of my lessons from this year that I'll share. And so I did the test on myself thinking, oh, I was 33 at the time. I'm like, oh, I'm going to come back at 28. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I'm doing everything right. I'm taking my supplements, like literally convinced I was going to come back at 28. Well, I didn't come back at 28 and I didn't come back at 33. I actually came back 4 years older. And so my first response was denial. but then, you know, went into the research. And so by denial, I mean, like, I'm like, okay, well, maybe this isn't actually about fertility, because I was like mid 30s, single in LA, desperately wanting my own babies. And, you know, this is telling me it's basically a fertility death sentence. So the research did unfortunately and fortunately show that this particular marker, this biological age marker, is measured through DNA methylation, which is the test that we've created and partnered with the lab on, that it was actually predictive for fertility outcomes, meaning if a woman had an advanced biological age, so which that was the situation I was in. My chronological age was 33. My biological age was like 36.8 or something, you know, almost 4 years older. That's advanced biological aging. Those women, even when they were in their 20s, even when they were younger, got fewer eggs, fewer viable embryos when they went through things like egg freezing and IVF. And we don't have data on natural conception. It's a little bit harder to gather that data for the research. So a lot of the research we see is we can count eggs and we can count good embryos. So that's why, you know, those are the outcomes that were measured. But so now I'm like, okay, so this does have to do with fertility. This is a fertility death sentence unless I figure out how to fix this. So now it's my life's mission to first figure out how to rewind the biological clock for myself, and then for every other woman out there. And I knew it was possible because I've seen these results in practice. Now it's just a matter of, now I have a marker that I can measure and actually watch progress in whatever direction it's going.
Right.
Be changes in real time. And so My best friend, Sarah, who's the CEO of Clockwise, was watching, you know, was sharing my journey with her. She actually had her own journey with biological age as well. And, you know, as we're doing this, we're like, women everywhere need to know that one, you can actually test this number. You can test your biological age and figure out where you are in that reproductive window on that clock, how fast that clock is ticking. But the most important thing is that they need, all these women need to know that you can actually rewind the biological clock.
Yes.
And so, you know, I talk about what I've seen in practice, but also what I did for myself. So of course I, you know, go into the research and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? Well, the few articles that were published at the time were basically taking growth hormone and metformin. And I wasn't about to put myself on growth hormone and metformin as a naturopathic doctor. I mean, plenty of people do. That's fine. Great. But I'm like, let me rework these mechanisms. Let me see what I'm not doing in my life right now that I could be doing differently. Mm-hmm. I put myself on a protocol. I retested 8 weeks later and I rewound my clock by a full 2 years and 8 weeks.
In 8 weeks.
So that's hope. Right. Now it gets better. So as more research is coming out, I'm tweaking the protocol. And over the next year, so on my 35th birthday, actually, I came back at 31 and three quarters. So I went from almost 4 years older to almost 4 years younger in about a year and a quarter. So that's hope. That's hope for fertility. That's hope for women. That's hope.
Oh gosh. And I thank you so much for your openness. You're not alone. I actually, when I was 28, I did a Viome test and I'm a dietitian. I don't drink, you know, like I got my stuff dialed in. I was certain I was going to be like 16. I feel like I'm kind of a young spirit. Oh my gosh. I came back at 30 when I was 28 and I was absolutely heartbroken. I was like, are you kidding me? So yeah, it's definitely, definitely possible. And anybody out there thinking that you got it all together and you're super healthy, I love that this day and age, we do have access to be able to monitor, like so blessed that we're able to look at this and be like, actually, wait, there's some lifestyle things that we could change here and we can monitor this and we can improve this. And what the heck, people who were not able to conceive later in life, oh gosh, yeah, this is absolutely incredible. If you might be able to share actually more about the marker that you use to test and how people, like, how does Clockwise really work?
Yeah. So what's nice is that you can do the test at home. It's an easy finger prick and it's a lot of good information. So we have two aging markers. The first marker is that biological age. So it's the age of your cells in that moment, which is obviously different than your chronological age. I guess it could be the same, but for most people it's different. And actually for most people it's older. And this is, we're looking at what are called methyl markers on the DNA. So they're actually gene switches. These little methyl groups turn genes on and off. And we want the right amount of groups in the right spots on the DNA, basically, is what we're looking at. And so we collect 900,000 points on the DNA. We use about 2,000 to figure out the age marker. And because this is an accumulation of these markers on your DNA over your entire lifetime, we estimate about 30% is genetic, but that means 70% is completely changeable. But in that 70%, some of that is also like from your childhood. So we know, like from the ACEs study, if there's been a lot of childhood trauma, we're going to see accelerated aging. Now that doesn't mean that's not reversible. We're still figuring out how much is reversible and whatnot, but there are, some components in this overall age marker that, you know, that are fixed.
Wait, can I just pause really quick? I just want to explain that ACE is adverse childhood events. I feel like a lot of people don't know that these adverse childhood events can linger later in life and cause emotional upheaval and just, yeah. So it's really interesting. You touched on it earlier, the emotional component of aging. So sorry, I just wanted to throw that in, but please do continue. This is really interesting.
I'm so glad you emphasized that because like the stress, trauma, mind, body component, I think is the most powerful one. Mm-hmm. And we can definitely get into that more, but, I have like cases we can chat about, but to finish out like the markers themselves. So we have that biological age marker. And then we have what I call our aging speedometer. It's based off of it's called the Dunedin PACE algorithm out of Duke University. And it's a great measure of how fast you're aging in this moment. So what we see a lot of times is, you know, women and men, because men can take our test too, and men's biological age also matters for fertility and health, is that people will take the test and their biological age will come back older, but their pace will come back like slower than time. So the range is like 0.4 to like 1.6. 1.0 is you're aging at the exact same pace as time, which is fine, but we want to age as slow as possible. So a lot of people will come back at like 0.9 or 0.8 or somewhere in between there, and their age is older. They're like, what's going on here? Well, did you party for 10 years and accelerate your clock a whole bunch? But what you're doing right now, like you're obviously taking this test because you care about your health and your fertility and your future. So you've probably made some changes already. So what you're doing now in this moment is helpful. You just haven't been doing it long enough for the years to fall off the calendar or the biological age marker. So, and that marker is very sensitive, meaning if you make some changes, we retest you a month later, we're going to see, were those changes slowing down that clock even more, which is fantastic. Are they not changing anything? Or is there something in there your body doesn't like and now you're aging faster and we got to figure out what's going on to get you back on the other side of that speedometer? So really good information on those two. And then the third component we include is our clock tox panel. So we look at 9 toxins. I call them fertility toxins, but really they're toxins for everybody, for everything. Like they increase breast cancer risk and, you know, we could go on there, but on the fertility side of things, these are things that we know advance ovarian aging, meaning they make your ovaries age faster, meaning fewer eggs, lower quality eggs. They increase time to conception by maybe, depending on the toxins and the combination, what we've seen in the research, about 30%. So meaning if you're trying to conceive naturally, it's going to take you longer if these things are in you, and especially if they're in you and your partner. And we see poorer outcomes on egg freezing and IVF. So fewer viable embryos and fewer live births. And what's interesting is like some toxins we have research just on mom, some toxins we have in both. And some toxins are you know, more paternally associated. But what's also interesting is these toxins, one, accelerate the cellular biological clock and age. This is a component of that cellular aging. But they also, those gene switches that they're flipping also get passed down to baby. Mm-hmm. So we know that when these toxins are in mom when she's pregnant, and sometimes even before pregnancy, they can increase baby's risk of obesity, asthma, eczema, allergies, potentially cancer risk, different endocrine disorders, and in dad as well. Like what's really interesting is some of these toxins, and especially the combinations, are really bad because, you know, we never have one toxin. But there's studies where like dad was exposed to something before baby was conceived, and then, you know, they track baby for years and they find that in like that 7 to 10 age group, especially for boys, the dads who are exposed to these toxins and phthalates, bisphenols, and parabens are the three that we check for. So boys 7 to 10 years old from dads who were exposed to these specific toxins had higher incidence of behavioral disorders and lower cognitive function scores.
Wow. That's really interesting. And I feel like this isn't being tested. Like, this just seems so not talked about. I'm really, really glad that you include this in your product.
Thank you. Well, and what's crazy to me is that like the conventional IVF world, there's plenty of studies published that show that these toxins impact success with IVF, but no conventional doc that I'm aware of yet is testing for any of these things.
Yeah.
Addressing any of, I mean, I have seen some IVF docs on Instagram say like avoid the plastics and fragrances and that sort of thing. But I think, you know, before somebody goes and spends $25,000 to $50,000 on IVF, it might be a good idea to make sure they're going to get the best results they possibly can.
Yeah. So how far do you go with this? Like you know, when it comes to plastic water bottles or getting a tea to go, or, how deep do you take it? How deep would you recommend? Like, should we really not be using, you know, those like plastic Tupperwares that if you order to go, it's always in this, like this hot soup in a plastic thing? Or yeah, I'm just curious if you have any tips around that. That's really interesting.
So I think sanity first.
Yeah. Okay.
We live in a modern society. the things you do every day are the most important things. So if you're getting a Starbucks every day, then maybe it's time to switch out, you know, I don't know if post-COVID, if they've returned to like being able to use your own cup or not, but like, so bringing your own cup if you can, and also minimizing like the most compounded exposure. So it's the daily habits, but then with the plastics, the things that leach the most are things that are hot and things that are acidic. So if we think about like the Starbucks example, so the cup itself is lined with plastic. Otherwise the coffee would eventually seep through. Right. The lid was also plastic. So you're basically drinking a hot acidic liquid in a plastic lined through a plastic lid, which is essentially chemical soup. And the coffee from Starbucks is probably, I'm sure it's not organic. It might be, might have mold. There might be other things. I don't know. Starbucks, don't sue me, but.
Everyone, let's boycott Starbucks. No more Starbucks.
You know, I'll have a Starbucks a couple times a year. If it's like, we're, you know, for whatever, you know, literally.
If you're traveling, if like there's, it has a place. Like, I think that, but I think it's most important that people are educated about this. It's just crazy how we're like, oh, I'm fantastic. I'm getting my, you know, black coffee from Starbucks. And then we're just not at all educated about these things. It's just not talked about. So.
Stuff you use in your home, it makes sense. Like, especially the stuff you're using frequently every day or almost every day, get rid of as much plastic as possible. So, I just moved in with my fiance about a month ago.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Who's using plastic food storage containers. And one of the first things, I didn't even have to ask, this is how amazing he is. One of the first purchases, and it was like part of my Christmas presents, even though like it wasn't wrapped and we just started using it right away. But he bought like a huge pack of like the glass food storage containers. And I was like,
dang. Well, that is my fatal flaw with dating, is these little things. Like, if they're drinking out of a plastic like store-bought water bottle, I'm like, I don't think this is gonna work. I'm so,
somebody's aligned philosophically and values wise for sure. Yeah.
Wow, that's really, really interesting. And I just love that you're able to describe so clearly how you measure the biological age, because I went to this longevity conference and it really was a somewhat heated debate. What really is the gold standard for measuring biological age? You know, we've got our telomere length, we've got the gluconeogenase and the glycation of our cells. We've got like, what's the deal? Like, how are we really measuring biological age? And I love that you have a few different components. Like, I haven't heard about the speed. That is so interesting. And being able to like compile these, and obviously you're seeing results, you know, if we're getting these embryos that are healthy, and that's really, really amazing to get to learn about. So people listening, people who are like, oh crap, like what is my biological age? Like, what should I do? This is a huge, you know, between exercise and, you were saying, the emotional component. I'm just like, how are you putting this in a product? Like, how are you putting this in a program that people, it's just so vast, the amount of, where do you even begin? Like, how?
So the first step is to test, so that you actually have a baseline and know what's happening in your system in this moment, so that you can track how effective changes are for you. And the other component of testing is, the earlier you test, the better chance you have of being able to prolong your fertility. Because yes, I rewound my biological clock from 4 years older to 4 years younger, but it took me like a year and a quarter. So if I was already 42, you know, trying to rewind my biological clock to get pregnant, do I really want to spend a year and a quarter to do that? But starting now I can keep my numbers low. So like, I'll be probably 30. Well, I'm about to be 37, but you know, when we get pregnant, I'll be 37, if not 38. But I have confidence that it'll happen easily because I've spent the last couple of years making sure my biological age is nice and low. So test and test early. And then also test fairly often, because like, there are things that happen that can accelerate the clock that need to be addressed, like toxins. Like when I moved in, we tested the whole water supply here. We're on well water. He has like a huge contraption system in the basement that supposedly does like all the things.
And I love him. This is great. He's on it.
We're meant to be. We're so meant to be. He's like, the water is going to be like perfect. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but like, let's just test and make sure. And I promise I'll answer your question, but what
No,
was
you're
different
fine. You're fine.
sidebar? You know, I used mytapscore.com and bought like everything. So we're testing hundreds of markers and metabolites and all that sort of stuff. I'm like filling all these jugs of water and sending them in. Well, we didn't come back with any of the plastics, which I was surprised. We didn't come back with any of the pesticides, which I was surprised because we're like around a lot of farms. We came back with lead.
Really? Oh. Oh man, that's really interesting.
Amounts, but you want zero lead, you know? So especially for fertility and pregnancy and for having little babies in the house.
Of
So
course.
anyway, so test at regular intervals to make sure that like you're staying on track with things. But anyways,
Not only testing yourself, of course, like testing your biological age, but yeah, let's test our water. Wait, what was the water test that you said? Tap something.com?
my tap score.
My taps. I'm gonna link this below. Okay, I haven't. This needs to be done. Thank
Yeah.
you. Continue. Wow.
So test. So do the fertility wise panels, what it's called. It has the biological age, the aging speedometer, and the clock toxin panel. And you know, you had said there's all these different types of biological age tests. The reason we chose the marker that we did using DNA methylation is because there's published research connecting it to fertility. This specific biological age test is linked to fertility. I was not able to find that for glycan age. I was not able to find that for telomeres. There's some, you know, telomere association, but as far as like actual health outcomes, biological age is measured through DNA methylation is the best way to test. So anyway,
Same.
there's that. Okay, so you take the test, you get your results, you get your baseline, you see where you are. And then with your results, we give you what I call our FAST framework. So FAST, this is how we break down the different areas that impact that biological age and the different areas you can make changes to start rewinding the clock immediately. So F is food, fasting, and fitness. A is associated conditions. So this is things, these are things like blood sugar dysregulation, either high, too highs, too many highs, and having like a higher A1C that's like insulin resistant type, pre-diabetic, you know, type, or hypoglycemic, meaning your blood sugar is dropping, your body is spiking your stress hormones, and that's not good for, you know, fertility hormones or biological age either. So blood sugar regulation. We do, you know, looking at other hormonal pictures, maybe PCOS, looking at maybe different genetic things like the MTHFR mutation, that if you have trouble with your methylation cycle, it might be harder to have healthy methylation on that DNA, hence advancing your biological age. So that's associated conditions. Our S's are sleep, stress, and supplementation. T's are toxins and trauma. And so in the report, you get, you know, anywhere from a paragraph to a page on each of these of like one to two things to just start in order to start rewinding the clock. And then some potential product, you know, recommendations that I've used and that I use with patients and that have helped along the way. And then we also have, and then we have two like live components that if women and or men or couples want to join. So we do Wise Time, which once you take our Fertility Wise test, you're automatically invited to Wise Time. Which is a twice a month live hour call with me. And sometimes we have guests. And so I answer questions. Sometimes we do a little coaching. And then at least once a month, we do some sort of either mind body exercise or visualization, meditation, healing session, movement session, something that's actually like, you know, we're actually doing something together to move to rewind the clock and work through that
Nice.
together. And then we a couple of, you know, it's like once a year actually now we do our rewind accelerator. So that's where you do the test. It's a live group cohort. You do the test. We're together for 6 weeks. We might actually extend it to, actually last year we ended up doing I think 10 weeks, and then you retest at the end. And so it's weekly calls, you get all the support. We have a quiz to figure out what your top area is of like where you should start. Most people, it's the stress, trauma, mind, body component that's like the most important to start with.
Interesting.
That also then helps you execute on all the other areas. But like, for example, the importance of that mind body stress component. We just had a woman who just did her retest and she's been feeling amazing since making the changes. She did our first accelerator. You know, energy is better, mood is better, weight is better, sleep is better. Like everything feels like she feels like she's gotten her like life force back and in her purpose. And she retested and she actually came back a few years older. And so I jumped on a call with her and we talked about it because she's like, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand. Well, about a month, 6 weeks before she retested, there was a, what I'm going to call like a trauma reactivation. So there was a situation that happened with her child that could be considered like traumatic for the parent as well. And that she expressed also kind of like triggered some trauma from her past. And there had to be like a lot of conversations and some resolution, and it ended up altering some friendships. And so it was like a significant life event. And it was pretty clear that was probably what accelerated that biological clock. Wow. And her pace was still the same. So that was telling me, okay, so, and that's an average of like everything that's going on in that moment. So yeah, there was probably more psychological stress. And she expressed like, it felt like she was in like a trauma experience, the sensations and what she was experiencing, but all the, like the physical stuff she had been doing, the movement, the food, that, you know, I think she had done a couple of the prolonged fasts, which is one of the things we talk about. So she had done so much on the physical side that, you know, when she had that very intense stressor, the biological clock, you know, was ticking about the same. She was still ticking slower than time, but because her age was older, that told me there was at least, you know, probably a couple of weeks in there where her age really accelerated from that amount of stress. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm mind blown. I think that, thank goodness she's working with you. I can only imagine how much worse if she wasn't doing all of these other health promoting behaviors and working with you, right? I'm sure it helps a lot. And oh gosh, just this is, I'm so, 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 so excited to hear that you're not just like, okay, you know, eat your broccoli, like just work out like this. It's a lot, it's more to it. We're finally coming to this place of really looking at the body as a whole and noticing our mental health. Our emotional, our energetic, like emotional well-being really does have a lot to do with our health. And I actually founded my company, Feed Your Power. It's all about that. Like, why would anyone do this test or, you know, take these action steps if they're hating on themselves, if they're just depressed and stressed and just like the mental health piece isn't there? So I really think that that's a brilliant and fascinating solid foundation that you're noticing that, oh my gosh, this mental health component. And that also opens up a can of worms. Like as a naturopath, I'm a dietitian. It's not exactly in our scope to be these holding space for trauma and like helping people work through trauma. Like, do you refer them to a therapist? Do you have practices that you recommend? Like there are a lot of nervous system regulation tools that I feel like I am able to recommend and that help a lot. But if there happens to be anything that you like as a go-to for you that you notice like helps.
Yeah, I have a lot of tools and I also did additional training in holistic counseling. I did a psychedelic training called Embodied Life working with ketamine. Oh. So I don't do ketamine therapy. You know, if somebody's actively trying to conceive, that's not the go-to. what's interesting is when we're talking about like DNA methylation, there's actually sites on the DNA that you can track that match a PTSD diagnosis.
Wow.
And there's certain modalities that have been able to show specifically, ketamine and psilocybin and Apollo Neuro, which is a wearable device that actually sends vibrations through the nervous system. Mm-hmm. There were studies showing that both the clinical like after utilizing these treatments in the way they were prescribed, the clinical diagnosis of PTSD was no longer applicable, AKA meaning they were cured. Mm-hmm. And the DNA methylation markers that were associated with PTSD matched when they had the clinical diagnosis, and then those markers had shifted, mm-hmm. also showing a cure. So the clinical quote unquote cure, mm-hmm. and the DNA quote unquote cure matched. So there's some very incredible tools if we're, you know, and that if they can help with PTSD, I'm going to assume they can help with something on a lot lower intensity scale. But as far as tools that I use regularly, because I do a lot of Zoom these days, I'm trained in body talk. Sometimes I do somatic work. Sometimes I do, and we actually, as a naturopathic physician, one of our what were they called? Like elective tracks was actually mind body medicine. So amazing. I did have courses on EMDR and tapping and some breath modalities and heart math. You know, there's a lot of fun stuff out there.
What is body talk, if you don't mind briefly?
So body talk is an intuitive, essentially like muscle testing mapping system, I guess you could say. So there's like a series of questions that you ask. There's a way to muscle test. And it kind of guides you. And it's more about reconnecting the body back to different parts of itself, and figuring out where to look to do that. And sometimes, you know, what's interesting is in the body talk world, the woman who I learned from, Dr. Laura Stouvet, actually used to be, I mean, I think she still, she's a PhD in molecular biology and genetics and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I learned about these DNA methylation markers as well as like histone acetylation and all this stuff in like undergrad and in medical school. And then I get into this like intuitive class, and she's like a PhD who used to teach these things, and I believe has like published papers on them, and is teaching about how to work with these particular markers intuitively, which is like, oh my God, this is like, you know, amazing to me. Body talk is a very specific body of work, kind of utilizing those modalities. And there's a lot of different ways to go in that. I also did a 2-year apprenticeship or training in biodynamic craniosacral therapy. So mm-hmm. that really is what kind of more, like I've always been on the more intuitive side, but that really honed my presence, my space holding, my listening. And as part of that was Peter Levine's trauma work. Mm-hmm. So I've done a lot of training in that space.
Yeah, I'm like, what haven't you done? I'm like, that's so amazing.
A while these days, so.
Yeah, that's a lot. Oh my gosh. Yeah, people doing clockwise, you're definitely, definitely in good hands. And
there is that kind of magic that there might be some resistance to that word being, because we're also very sciencey, but I feel like as women, having that like connection or reconnection to our intuition, and really the body is wise, the body knows. Yes. And so the more we can listen and trust ourselves, and I find that that's one of the most important parts of the journeys as women become mothers, is if we can start that process now, that pregnancy can be a little bit easier, birth can be a little bit easier, motherhood can be a little bit easier as we truly learn to trust ourselves.
Gold, absolute gold, right? It's so true. I think about that a lot actually with these wearables and all of these things that we're kind of outsourcing are what's going on in our bodies. And while I think these are incredibly empowering tools, just like, you know, getting your biological age tested with clockwise, these things, I think it's important that we're able to pop our head out from the water and make sure we're going the right direction. But on the day to day, are we actually checking in with ourselves? Like, hey, what does my body need today? Does it need to go for that 5-mile run, or does like gentle yoga or something? Like even something as simple as that, it's actually so, so, so profound. And even to the point of, yeah, what you're talking about, these different modalities, I'm getting to be able to be in that space where it's going to be beneficial and like check in with yourself and like use the tools that are going to be helpful. Like it does take a slowing down. And oh gosh, yeah, I think that anybody who's looking to become a mother, what a beautiful thing to be able to reflect and inspire your friends, your family, your kiddos, having that connection with yourself and like taking care of yourself and loving on yourself, like everything you're saying. I'm just, oh, it's so beautiful. And really quick side note, I just want to shout out to my mom because I wasn't born till my mom was 39. And that was like unheard of. I'm like, yeah, my parents are older, you know, like I wasn't born till my mom was 39. But I think in our lifetimes for sure, it's like, oh, like the age discrimination, all of this, we're supposed to be having all of our kids all of already by 25. Like I used to have all of these thoughts of where I'm supposed to be at a certain age, and you're just totally destroying that. Like it's like screw that. We're in the future where actually we're aging backwards, and we don't have to put all of this pressure on ourselves.
Well, and it's like here's what's happening with age. So, you know, if you look at the general research out there, yeah, it does look like as women get older, it takes longer and can be harder to conceive naturally or with IVF, because, you know, both success rates go down with age. But one, they're not looking at, they're looking at a general population. They're not looking at like cellular health, biological age. But what I see is that the more chronological years that you have, the more years of toxin exposure, the more years of stress, the more years of poor sleep, the more, you know, it's like, if you're not living, and you know, who's living a perfect lifestyle these days? It's like, you know, it's the modern world.
I'll admit I'm not.
we're finding that balance, but we do have, you know, so it's more chronological years of all those things that accelerate the clock. And hence we see a lot as when people test, 90% of people come back anywhere from 1 to 4 more years older. But then we also see a lot of the majority are rewinding their clock by anywhere from, you know, 1 to 4 years and anywhere from 3 to 12 months. So yeah, hope, possibility.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Someone listening, do not give up hope. Like there is such incredible technology now, and there's so many tools that we have that, oh, this is so, I love it. Thank you so much. And you are so inspiring in person. I'm actually curious if you happen to be speaking at any conferences or attending any conferences in the future.
Yes. I mean, like coming up, I do a lot of virtual like summits and interviews and podcasts and stuff.
Yeah. Like how can people, yeah, I'm curious for people to be able to learn from you.
I mean, the best way is to follow Clockwise Fertility on Instagram at Clockwise Fertility. You can also follow me at Dr. Zagoni. And then once you take that fertility wise test, or you can actually also join Wise Time before you've taken the test. There's a fee for Wise Time. If you haven't taken the test, you're automatically, you know, in if you have, you know, taken the test. Those are the best ways to be part of our community and part of our rewinding.
Yeah, it's rewinding. That's awesome.
I am actually speaking, this isn't open to the public, but I'm going to be speaking at the House of Lords in London.
Cool.
At the end of February. I sit on a board for a group called the Enhanced Games, and I'm on their Ethical and Science Advisory Commission, specifically for women's health and whatnot. So I'm going to be part of that, which will be really exciting. And then actually my best friend and CEO and I have a meeting to discuss what's coming up, but you know, we've got a couple more podcasts booked in the next few weeks. We actually have a national campaign launching, so you might even see us on commercials. I won't be on the commercial, but you'll see Clockwise on the commercial. We're going to have a billboard in Times Square. So a lot of really fun and exciting stuff coming up this year.
Oh, that's so incredible. Congrats. I'm so excited. I hope I see this. And yeah, I'm going to link everything below. Everybody check out Clockwise. Oh, wow. And I have a lot that's going through my mind. I feel like we could probably talk for hours as far as like, what was coming in my mind when you were saying, you know, it's not a perfect world, like we're doing our best here. The amount of pressure that I put on myself, like I do work for Dr. Longo. I help people do these fasting regimens with Prolon, which you've mentioned. And the amount of pressure that I put on myself to like be the healthiest and be the best. And like, and I'm sure I'm talking to the absolute chronological age fertility expert here. I can only imagine the amount of pressure that you put on yourself, you know, and if you just moved in with your fiance, like thinking about conceiving, I just want to say, like, oh my gosh, we're humans. And I love what you said. You said sanity first. Sanity first. Yeah, you're just such an absolute light. Yeah, thank you for being such a grounded. You're gonna be the best mom ever. I cannot, like,
Thank you, Katie.
so excited for you. Is there anything that you feel like really called to share? Anything on, you know, on your heart that you're like, oh, I just want to share this right now?
Yeah, I would say, I guess there's two things. The first is be gentle. This was one of my big lessons this last year, because even though I'm like that with my patients, I'm like low and slow, just try a little bit, see how you respond. I found that I would, like, I don't know, try like 1,000 milligrams of an NAD patch on my body 4 days in a row and throw myself into like almost a psychotic break. You know, so low and slow on the changes, like there is such thing as like too much of a good thing. But I think more importantly, when I like zoom out to the bigger picture, I think there's a lot of, like, on a global scale, I think there's a lot of fear. I think there's a lot of violence. I think there's a lot of reasons to not have hope. And I also think, like, the macrocosm is a reflection of the microcosm, and we have to start with ourselves as well. And so what I would say is, I truly feel hope for humanity. And I know that as society, as a culture, as a planet, we're going to get through this. And, I guess this is going a little bit in a different direction than I was expecting, but, I sat in a medicine ceremony over maybe almost 2 years ago now. And, it was profound in a lot of ways, but the message that I received that was so important for me, because it was when a lot of, you know, I think it was like during the pandemic, there was a lot happening, was that, like, this knowing that humanity wins. And so, that's actually what's coming through to share in this moment, is that, like, humanity wins. Like, there's so much reason to be hopeful. There's so much hope. There's so much inspiration. There are so many good humans doing such good work out there. So whether it's fertility, whether it's your family, whether it's calling in your partner, because, you know, before the fertility piece, usually there's a partner piece. If it's thinking about, like, the global scale, like, yes, there are going to be times to take action. Yes, there's going to be work to do. And, like, you were put here perfectly to be here in this moment, to live this life, to have these experiences. Trust yourself, connect with the divine in whatever way that is. Love yourself, be gentle with yourself, but most of all, have hope. That's all.
Oh, amen. All of it. I love. Oh, thank you. That was absolutely beautiful. Yes. I needed to hear that. I'm sure everyone needed to hear that. The hope for humanity. Because we can easily be down this rabbit hole of fear and just, like, doom. But we can also easily be seeing companies like yours absolutely popping off that are making such a huge impact, a huge difference. Like, we're going through a wave of miracles being commonplace. Like, it's, of course, you know, there's a lot of possibilities. Anything could happen. I love this hope that you just instilled. Okay, I do have one final question. How do you empower yourself? How do you feed your power?
Two ways. I sit at my altar, which changes. Today it's Mother Mary and a cute little, like, seashell with a honeybee on it and a candle. And connect, you know, to the divine in that way. The other way is I dance. I'm a dancer. I move my body. I feel my most divine and my most empowered and my most badass, sexy, peaceful, loving, joyful, everything when I'm dancing. So that's what I do.
Same. Thank you. Those are both so inspiring and potent, and I relate to the dancing for sure. Oh gosh, dancing is magical. Like, you can really be transported to a whole new energy just from music and dancing and movement. Oh, it's amazing. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, for your openness, for your vulnerability, and for your hard work. I know it's not easy creating something that's never been done before and never been created before. Wow, I really, really, really acknowledge you, and I'm so inspired by you, and I can't wait for this to get in the hands of more people.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
all the links.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All the links down below. And oh yeah, I hope to cross paths again soon. Hopefully at a
I think
conference.
so. I think I can feel it happening. I can feel it coming.
I know, mind blowing, right? Was that the best conversation you ever heard? How inspiring. Go be sure to follow down below. Everything is linked. And I cannot wait for people to learn more about, oh my gosh, how am I doing with my biological age, my biological clock? It is totally possible for us to have healthy babies later in life. Exciting, exciting. Let me know what you thought about this. Let me know what you got from this. Let me know if you're going to go to Starbucks again after this. And I love you so much. Thank you for listening. I hope you have the best day.
Thank you for dedicating time to improve your health and your life by listening to this podcast. If you are interested in holistic health and nutritional counseling, click the link in my bio to apply. Don't forget to screenshot this and tag me at vitamin.katie on your Instagram story. Subscribe to this podcast and leave a review to get this message out there to help more people. Thanks again so much for listening, and have a beautiful, wonderful, incredible life. Much love to you. Bye.